The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
The Action Line today is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE has delivered reliable service and peace of mind for about 90 years. Manage your account at MTE.com or download the My MTE app. Brian Barrett here. It's time to talk with Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen and his entourage. Is it an entourage or a
posse?
Yeah, that's a good word. Captain Clayton Williams, PIO Larry Flowers with us. We're off to a great start this morning, but good to see you.
Good morning.
Good to have you. Lot to talk about. Summertime's here.
Yeah,
lots of people out and about. Are the streets a little clearer in terms of traffic? I haven't noticed it really.
Oh, I have.
Oh, have you?
Oh, I look forward to this time of year all the time because just making it from my house to here is just, or my house to work is, yeah, it's a lot different.
Spring break and fall break, and then the first few weeks of June.
Yeah, it's noticeable to me unless I'm just imagining things. I don't know about you, Clay.
No, I came in from. I had to go by South Church Street this morning, came in that way, and it was totally different. Yeah. I mean,
well, no one's out when I'm coming in, so
I was gonna say
most people sleep
yesterday. I meant that whenever anybody says they have a hard time getting away, I thought about that. We came in early yesterday morning for an event, and it was 5 a.m and I was like, you can go anywhere unobstructed you want right now because there is nobody out here right now. If you don't want to stress, 5 a.m that's the time.
And I'm always here, so I don't know what time it really starts and kicks in, but I would say sometime between, 6 and 7 o'clock is when things get going.
Yep, 6:30 to 7:30, that's when everybody's going, trying to beat the rush.
School zones, don't have to deal with those. I know we've got summer school coming up, I think, next week and all, but, that also helps on congestion, I would think, Chief.
It does. I'll tell you, the amount of traffic that comes to this town on a daily basis is pretty interesting, but the cycles that it takes is kind of unique. The school zones are big, and I think that especially when you have them on big streets like Memorial and they're on Rutherford, things like that, that really impacts things. But they're necessary, keep the kids safe, and like I said, it's just certain times throughout the year. So
I know that we like school zones, or the county likes to build schools in threes and, have big campuses and all. Does that help? Does that make it better than, maybe some of the places that just have one single school? Black Fox comes to mind, or not. I don't know.
We get a lot of complaints in and around schools, whether it be county schools or city schools. And I think it's just one of those characteristics that if you're going to have a school, I think a lot of times when people look back, going back generations, you had a lot of kids riding buses, things like that, and you have so many more parents now that are just driving straight to the school, and that traffic accumulates. I know we get more complaints in certain neighborhoods than other neighborhoods, but when you really look at the grand scheme of things, and every school zone I drive through around pickup time, they're all packed, and I think there's probably just tolerance. Tolerance is different in different neighborhoods. You go to some of the older neighborhoods where those schools have been there, since I went to elementary school, just seems to receive fewer complaints than maybe some of the newer schools. I don't know if that's accurate, Clayton, because they've been embedded in those neighborhoods for so long.
It is, and you think about those ones where like Siegel and Blackman come to mind, where you have or also now Oakland with those schools in the same area. So many of those, other than Oakland, is probably, they're off of the main I know people have to use the main thoroughfare to get there, but I think the ones where we hear the most complaints about are the ones that are on a major artery, like that slow down.
Blackman and Siegel.
Thompson Lane. Yeah, big one. Hear that one a lot, because we share the responsibilities with the county, because the county city school situation, and it's just a lot of people to get in and out of one location at one time, and it's hard to do with so many pickup and bus lines and things like that.
And the big thing is, if you go in the back neighborhoods and to pick up your children, you have a special place to pick them up. Just remember not to block the driveways, block the mailboxes, things like that, and just kind of give people an out that are people that are living in those neighborhoods, give them room to get in and out and be able to move down the roadway.
That's the biggest thing, I think, that upsets neighborhood folks. Because, I mean, we even get phone calls about that. And it's start of the school year or right back after Christmas. We get phone calls saying, can you do something? Well, what can we do?
You know
the police chief. But, you know.
And I know the principals are pretty good about working with the SROs and making announcements to the parents about, hey, especially at the beginning of school years, about, hey, here's some things we need to keep in mind when we're doing that. But it's a process. Really, we're just talking how many minutes out of the day.
It's short-lived, 30 minutes.
And the job that those folks do, keeping the traffic flowing, the I don't want to call them traffic cops, but what?
Our school patrol.
Yeah, school patrol.
And I tell you, I think you said it this last meeting, it's amazing the dedication that those ones have had. We've had some doing that, what you just gave Claudia, what year award for? Was that her 20 year?
Yeah.
I mean, they're compensated, but like you said, it's a short window of time, but you kind of have to allocate that day. And they catch a lot of grief that they don't deserve. I mean, we hear it from them, and it's really unfair. And I really wish that if I say anything, those people, man, they're out there trying to help because they want to do that and keep kids safe. And please, just try to tell them thank you every now and then, because it's hot, it's cold, it's wet, it's all those things, you know. So
when I think of school patrol, I think of Bitsy Russell. How many years she's done that? Maybe she's still doing
it. Claudia?
Is that Claudia?
Been out at
MTCS.
She just got a
report. I only knew her as Bitsy.
I think she might have started out over on Greenland over there at Discovery School, and then she moved to MTCS. She loves it and dedicated.
I mean, and just the. Can you do it like she does?
I wish I was as smooth as that to direct traffic. I think it's kind of calming. I think people are like, oh, wow. You know,
And
I'm more the whistle and point. You know, that's the kind of thing.
That would, I mean, there are certain places to be that would be, okay, maybe I can handle this, but not Memorial Boulevard.
Oh, man. that's a tough job.
Yeah.
Really tough job.
And that's the way I come in. So, like this morning, no school zone. Yeah, no college
right
traffic.
In.
Oh
yeah, I forget about that sometimes because it's just a few blocks away. But
yeah, and that's when you can really tell when both of them are out.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. If you want to text in questions, 615-893-1450 is the number. We've got Chief Michael Bowen here, Captain Clayton Williams, PIO Larry Flowers has been quiet, but Larry, I do want to. Ask you were not here last time, and I got to host last time, and you were off learning PIO things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in Kansas City, Missouri, for the International Association of Chiefs of Police mid-year PIO conference.
Oh wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
How'd they get that on a lanyard on a car?
Just abbreviation, ICP mid-year. Yeah, so it was great. A lot of good presenters, including Josh Devine with TBI was one of our presenters. So learned a lot.
All you old TV folks are, you know, Josh and yourself. And there are a lot of PIOs, huh?
They're leaving the dark side and coming to the light.
Exactly. Yeah, it was definitely the best decision I could have made. After I think my TV run had run out 30 years.
30 years?
30 plus years, actually. Yeah. Wow. And see, that's where you're supposed to say, oh, you only look 30, so how
can you? No. I can't say that. No, this is 32 for me here. Wow. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So, yeah. But I started when I was 16. Did you start when you were 16?
Not quite. I started working when I was about 12, but not in TV, but yeah. So I need to retire, but can't.
Did you ever have to ask the chief here any hard questions, or?
Well, I think there was a news conference. He just gave a statement, but didn't take any questions. And I think he's done two television interviews, and I was one of those when he was named chief in the building next to you.
So
I had to beg him, and he finally gave in.
That's not how I remember it. But I could be inaccurate in my recollection.
Is that what you have to do when you have to remind him like a week before this show, and it's like beg him to come?
No, he comes with this one with no problem. So
well, I guess you've done well in that respect, and he didn't hold that against you apparently. So
not at all.
No, I was getting on his nerves about working here. I was like,
it takes a strong team, and this is a critical part of any police department, though. Really, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely. 100%. And we're very fortunate that Larry did make the move to come work at BD. And he's like, well, there's several, but he's in a unique position. He's seen both sides of it. He understands both sides of it and has a good grasp on how to approach certain issues.
Well, we've got a few questions streaming in, so we're going to get to those here in just a couple of moments. It's almost 8:30 here in the News Radio, WGNS 101.9, 100.5, WGNSradio.com. Hit us up on our text line, 615-893-1450. Got Big GTV going out there as well, so let us know what's on your mind this morning. Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen, Captain Clayton Williams, PIO Larry Flowers with us here on The Action Line this morning, powered by MTE.
At the Garden Patch Thrift Shop on Spring Street, we believe in more than just great deals. Every purchase you make helps Greenhouse Ministry serve over 70 families a day, offering hope and changing lives in our community. From name brand clothing to household items or even large appliances, you'll find everything you need at prices that will fit your budget. Plus, 100% of the proceeds go back to the ministry. Visit the Garden Patch Thrift Shop today across from the tall NHC building in downtown Murfreesboro, where shopping changes lives.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro. Have you ever thought you'd like to have a piece of living, moving art in your home? If so, come take a stroll through our relaxing aquarium section. Discover how you can enjoy that tranquil feeling every day at home. Whether you have a saltwater, freshwater, or brackish aquarium, we've got you covered here at Animal City. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. When Kristen said, okay, you know, when we're going to do the remodel, because we're celebrating 35 years, we also wanted to make it more open and inviting, so we made the lobby a lot more open. Booth seats a little bit different colors to kind of still keep it a little up to date, make it fresh. We wanted to make it cozier, make it a little bit brighter for people to see, to pay homage to where we have been the entire time. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
WGNS talks about all things local. It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Morning. Still working with a couple of accidents out here. There's still some volume coming in from Wilson County, the Mount Juliet area, headed on into Hermitage Donaldson right now on 40 going westbound all the way past Donaldson Pike. It's finally moving better out in Bellevue on 40 eastbound. We had a crash earlier out near McCroy Lane that had traffic tied up pretty good. Hey, when you need dependable towing in Middle Tennessee, call STR Towing and Recovery. You can check them out at strtow.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
We'll see sunny skies here for this afternoon with a high around 90 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 68. Thursday, slight chance for storms, late, a high of 89. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS.
Currently, it's 66.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com. The Good Neighbor Network. The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We are back here on The Action Line, powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. They offer tools and tips to help members manage their energy usage. Learn more about electric vehicles as well, MTE.com. Online. Well, subject number one here today.
Special stripes in black and white.
Zebra cadaver.
Run and gallop on grass.
Zebra cadaver.
We have the Zebra Wranglers here in studio this morning. Maybe that should be the job of the PIO, you know, to help do that. You think, Larry? I could see him with a lasso.
Oh, man. I'm from Mississippi, but I stayed away from all that.
They don't have zebras in Mississippi, probably.
Talk about
something that has captivated a community.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's crazy.
Absolutely. And needle in a haystack, I guess.
It seems to be.
I don't know how much energy one of those things has, but if he's running a straight line, no telling where he's at now.
Yeah. You know, I sent, speaking of Larry, I sent Lisa Marchesoni an email the other day, and she in a zebra hat. Is she taking in all this? Because I cannot imagine how many phone calls she's gotten.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you all had to deal with that very much, calls or whatnot?
Yeah, no. I just forwarded in to Lisa.
Oh, do you?
No, yeah, all the media that reached out to me, it's like that was the easy one.
Yeah.
You know, we don't patrol the interstate, so it's not us. It's Rutherford County, so reach out to them. So.
Yeah. Kind of in a county area, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's right there on the edge.
I know I was listening to a competitor, and they were talking about somebody with a drone out there, and maybe even involving some type of dog tracking to help try to find it. I guess their philosophy is it's settled down somewhere and just kind of staying out of view, maybe in a patch of woods or something like that. Maybe. But it all remains to be seen. But it's definitely grasped the headlines.
I mean, every day there's a new Ring doorbell video just trotting through a neighborhood in a cul-de-sac. I mean, it's just crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There have been
two different ones that
one
I've seen.
I saw, I don't know which neighborhood it was, but they had posted it, and they, I mean, it's interesting. He comes up to the T on the intersection, just trotting, and he like looks around, like, okay, I'll go this way.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
And he smacks it right down the street.
Yeah,
I'm like, wow, okay. Of course, these may be happening in the early morning too. I don't know what the timestamp was.
I don't know
because you didn't see anybody, any cars moving, so I don't know what time frame it was.
Did not know that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I mean, and. So I would think they're, and I'm not a zebra expert, but I would think that their natural instinct is to stay away from people and traffic and things.
You would think.
So, you know, and they're built to stay hidden. Yeah. I mean, that's what the stripes are for.
True.
So I did learn that.
Maybe that. Well, that maybe you'll have better luck in the urban environment, maybe.
I don't know. But
hopefully no city limits and stays out of them.
Yeah.
But you'll be on it if it is. Get out there.
If you see it and call us, we'll put our heads together and try to do something.
You'll get your best zebra person.
Our zebra expert.
We've got some horse people. I don't know if it translates, but we'll try.
Oh, the guy from California.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, we've got a couple of horse people. I don't know if it matters. I mean, it could be, I don't know. Yeah. We'll be quiet.
Yeah. One of the other questions that always seems to come up about this whole situation is why a zebra? But according to state law, you can have a zebra even though they're, quote, undomesticatable.
Yeah. There's some people, I had a friend back in Winchester. Well, you probably know
home.
Who I'm talking about. He had a large nursery operation. He was an animal collector. He had camels and had some zonkies, which is a cross between a zebra and a donkey. He was some red pandas, weird things. But everybody's got unique hobbies.
Yeah, don't let the zonkies get on the loose. We don't need those in the county for sure. Keep those down in Franklin County.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I haven't heard or seen anything much this morning about Ed. He's been given a name, too. And why Ed? I guess Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed, yeah.
Oh, I wondered that, too. I thought maybe that was maybe the owner said his name's Ed.
I don't think. And whoever that is has been pretty elusive. But I guess if I caused a local uproar like this. But anyway, it's been kind of fun. And I did notice that last night's 9 p.m. time to lock your doors in the car routine that I get every night on Twitter, that kind of had a little Ed flavor to it.
It did. But the one on Monday night was a little better. So,
oh, was it?
Yeah,
didn't
it was
see that
zebra laughing. And so that one, it got people talking. Some guy's like, hey, why don't you just catch it and quit trying to get clicks? It's like, come on, dude. I didn't even think about that, but now that you say it. No. But, yeah, so I had to explain to him it was in the county, and they haven't asked for our assistance yet, so if they do, we'll help.
And it's a unique animal that a lot of people around here don't have experience with.
So that's very true.
Everybody's got to understand that, too, and it's going probably going to take some, put some minds together to get that thing
I would say so. Right. It's been an interesting thing to see. My daughter, who now lives up in Wilson County in Lebanon, I said that this kind of stuff doesn't happen in Wilson County. So, I mean, you're boring guys over there. Right. I mean, you have a fair once a year and that's it.
did you see their post?
No, I didn't.
They called him Officer EZ, bruh.
Ah, yeah.
And so it was they're pretty cool sitting inside of a police car.
I saw one from Mount Juliet. I mean, all the neighboring communities, they're getting in on it. So great publicity, though. I mean, if you needed something to get publicity. 615-893-1450. That was the, I mean, literally three questions about the zebra this morning. So there are no pothole questions that I'm going to ask you this morning. Are you glad about that?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. I mean, it's spring/summertime, so we're getting all that handled.
Yeah.
There is a question and something that came up that I know you've spent a lot of time here on the program explaining the camera system, and I had one comment about, is this just not the traffic cameras on steroids and things like that? So can you explain how that tool is being used, and it's not being used just to, you know, spy on people, right? It's being used to help solve crimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to go back to the beginning, the concerns about this being something that was kind of snuck into our operation is we've been putting this in our budget document for a couple of years. We list goals and objectives, and we specifically outlined, hey, we want to obtain this technology and we want to do this. And then, of course, once you accomplish it, you know, we put it in our those accomplishments. So they've been part of the budget document. I know Larry has done news stories that we've posted on our website. When you go on our website, we have two places where you can find the Real-Time Crime Center, and it will list some frequently asked questions, and it'll kind of talk about what the Real-Time Crime Center encompasses. I know that we have to add a section there, I think, on the camera portion. I think we have the LPR questions and the gunshot detection questions, but we have all that listed on our website. And then if we get certain questions, we'll be glad to add them so that everybody can see the same information. So it's always been open and upfront about how we're going to deploy this equipment and how we're going to use this equipment. When you look at the technology pieces, there's three pieces of technology that are involved in this crime center. The first one, we'll start with the gunshot detection technology. It was the most recently installed equipment, but basically it's set up to triangulate and locate gunshot detection. I think it gets us between 90 and 120 feet of a gunshot event, and that gives us the ability to go out and pick up brass, collect evidence, maybe talk to witnesses, things like that. We do have instances where we pick up gunshots on the system where they're not being called in, and we've confirmed that something happened. So that's not a huge number, but it does happen. And then we get that information when those sensors go off a lot quicker than somebody calling in, so we can already be on the way. And I forget how many seconds it was, but there is a significant amount of time that we get there quicker by just responding to the sensors. So that's the first set of that's the first piece of technology. And you got to remember, Murfreesboro, 60 something square miles, 67, 68, 69, somewhere in there. It's like between 65 and 70. You got to remember, this technology, this particular set of technology piece, only applies to 5 miles, 5 square miles or less. And you'll see sensors in places where we may not be having an immediate issue, but they're part of that whole triangulation. So we have to place them there just to give that 100% coverage over a 5 square mile area. So it might not be, if you have a sensor in your front yard, it may not be your house, but it, like I said, it's part of a larger system to get total coverage. So that's the first piece.
So is that 5 square miles, does that move around, or is that 5 specific square miles?
It can. Okay. So basically what we do is we look at data, and we kind of identify the area where it would be most, best used, and we place it in that area, and we have the ability over time to move it if we need to. If crime trends change, we can move that to different parts of the city. But right now, I think the historical data goes back years and kind of backed up our initial placement of these devices. And it's new technology, and it's something that we're really evaluating, but it's been pretty effective and pretty interesting how that works and how effective it is.
So you mentioned that one piece was gunshot detection. What are the other two pieces to
that? So the other piece, I'll go with the public safety camera system. So basically, if you go in, they're pretty identifiable. The first set of cameras that we installed, you'll see them. They've got a MPD sticker on them. There's nothing sneaky, covert about them. You'll find that we went back to crime data. We looked at the areas where they would most likely be most beneficial. We put them in those areas. And the first group is less than 20, I'd say between 14, 17, I can't remember. So we put those in those areas. And there again, that technology is movable. The first set of camera systems, all the information is contained on the camera. And I think that it stores about 30 days or so. The only time we access that information is if we have something to look at. If we have a crime in the area, if we have something we're investigating, then we can go to that camera, we can pull that information off the camera. We don't randomly fish on those systems. First of all, we don't randomly fish on those systems, and I need to back up real quick. The gunshot detection technology, I think there's a concern that there's just constantly monitoring. So if you're standing next to it, we can hear what you're saying. That's not the case. It only alerts to the whatever the parameters are for a gunshot.
That's an audio frequency of some type.
Exactly. And even going back to that, there's some cities where they turn them on for fireworks as well, so they'll have the fireworks aspect turned on, whereas we don't. We filter out the fireworks. It's a problem around New Year's and the 4th of July, but you know, as being a constant year-round problem, it's not, where some cities have that experience, and so they'll turn on both to where it can distinguish between the fireworks and the gunshot detection. They're even developing that stuff to where it can pick up other types of sounds, and I think that it's still in a lot of experimental stages, but it might be beneficial for some of these cities that have street takeovers, things like that. I think that they're trying to develop technology where it can pick up those sounds associated with that.
Like a huge crowd or something gathering?
I think the tire squealing, things like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, things like that. All right. Now I'll go back to cameras. So that first phase of cameras we did, then Governor Lee came up with the Violent Crime Grant, and we applied for that. So we have a second round of cameras coming. They're a little bit different. They're going to be cloud-based as far as the information storage, but there again, the access, we have to have a reason to access it. Officers cannot just randomly get on those cameras. We have a limited number of people that can get onto those camera systems. And if an officer needs information from those systems, they have to fill out a form to where we can do, and all this stuff is auditable. This we can audit this stuff through the system to see why people were in there or who accessed what. So I'm pretty comfortable about its use. And we've been clear to staff, you know, any misuse of this information, we're going to deal with it. But I'm comfortable with the way we've set it up is good. It gives us the information we need and still keeps that privacy of individuals in mind. Third phase, LPR technology. We have a system of LPR license plate readers that we've installed, and we've got a second round that's being currently installed. Of course, that second part is through the Violent Crime Grant through Governor Lee's crime initiative, and those are being placed on. The requirement for those is we had to place them on state highways and state routes, so we're doing that as we speak, and that will...
So state routes within the city limits?
State routes within the
gotcha.
City limits.
Okay.
So the first... it's interesting. I don't want to bore y'all, but initially when we bought the first set, it was not through the grant, and the whole permitting process was kind of problematic. So we put it on non-state routes, I call them municipal routes, sure, throughout the city. And then when the grant came out, they said, hey, we're going to mandate that these go on the state routes, which kind of complemented what we had in place. So we were able to take those and then supplement what we had on the city streets and put them on the state routes. Those are being installed right now. We're able to integrate those systems to where they all can feed to our real-time crime center. And there again, I think we can keep that information up to 90 days. We keep it up to 30 days. And there again, you have to... only certain individuals have access to that, and you have to fill out documentation as to why you're entering that system, why you're getting information.
And all of that would have to follow along with, you know, even the prosecution, I would think, you know, to, if that is used as maybe some evidence in a crime, that it would have to be, well, was this done correctly? Was it done up to the statutes? And so that's right, why you have to be very particular.
Yeah, right. And you got to remember, all these... the LPR system, they just identify vehicles. We don't know who's driving the vehicle. We don't know any of that.
Yeah.
So all we,
it's just a license plate reader.
Yeah,
right?
It's just a car. We can say that car was here at this time.
Yeah.
Now, if you had a crime up the road and you had a description of a homicide vehicle leaving the area, tag number, we can say, all right, he was here, and here.
Uh-huh.
And that helps. I think when that big case with the individuals, mm-hmm, that was traced back to Florida on the sunglasses, and we were just able to say that, hey, these individuals were here, and here. And then, of course, you had to build your case based on... you
piece that together.
Yeah.
So the governor's part of this and the grants, will that, and being on state routes, will that kind of, you know, Nashville will have some, Mount Juliet, I mean, will it be kind of a network, or is that the goal eventually?
No. I think a lot of people, if you follow some of the local news, some cities are more willing to adapt this type of technology. I know that Smyrna, Mount Juliet's a big user, Hendersonville, Murfreesboro are big users. I don't think that Nashville has really... moved forward in any kind of noticeable way with this type of technology. I know they've had some test pilot programs, some certain things, but I don't know that they're using it on any type of scale.
Well, this morning we are talking with Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen, Captain Clayton Williams, PIO Larry Flowers, and I think that's all I had to use of the audio with the gunshot detection. That's, you know, we're learning how to do so many different things even in our industry with audio and how that works and how you can clean that up and get a crisper sound, and you know, so it's very interesting the advances in all of the technology that's available.
So gunshot technology, the only time we receive an audio is we'll receive a short clip of the actual suspected gunfire. Mm-hmm. And I say suspected, I mean, the sound. And man, that thing's pretty, it's very accurate.
And does it give you, like, here's where it was detected in this location, and it's within,
absolutely,
you know?
I think it's within 6 meters. I think it's
6 meters. Wow.
I don't do meters. I'm a foot guy.
Yeah. Whatever that conversion is.
Yeah. For all my European friends out there.
But it was 90 to 120 feet in that range.
That's wild.
And it's really beneficial in the fact that, especially at nighttime or certain times of day, that sound travels and you can't quite figure where it's coming from. You might get a call, hey, it sounded like it was over here, and it's totally off. And the ability for us to go to that scene and especially pick up brass, that's big.
Before that evidence is compromised or
picked up.
Run over in the fits in the street, things like that.
It's huge to be able to collect that type of evidence.
Well, we're going to wrap up the show here in just a couple of moments, and stay with us. Action Line rolls along here. We've got Roundtable coming up in just a couple of moments. Chip Walters, your Wednesday host, talking about the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame coming up next hour. Stay with us on News Radio WGNS.
Alan Butcher was one of many local residents who only went to Adams Place.
Of course, Adams Place, in my mind, is the premier senior care facility, not only in Murfreesboro, but in the immediate area. We're very happy here, and so glad we came.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adams Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
Get old. Old National Bank, that is. Old National Bank has the experience and service you need to buy a home, make investments, even online and mobile banking. Old National Bank is in the borough on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard, which used to be Mercury Boulevard.
Visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Morning. Still working with a couple of accidents out here. There's still some volume coming in from Wilson County, the Mount Juliet area, headed on into Hermitage Donelson right now on 40 going westbound all the way past Donelson Pike. It's finally moving better out in Bellevue on 40 eastbound. We had a crash earlier out near McCroy Lane that had traffic tied up pretty good. Hey, when you need dependable towing in Middle Tennessee, call STR Towing and Recovery. You can check them out at strtow.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
We'll see sunny skies here for this afternoon with a high around 90 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 68. Thursday, slight chance for storms, late, a high of 89. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS.
Currently, it's 66.
Turn your fingers into a microphone and talk back. WGNSradio.com is Rutherford County's online source for what matters to you. WGNSradio.com. FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com. The Good Neighbor Network. The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back in. Chief Michael Bowen, Captain Clayton Williams, PIO Larry Flowers with us this morning. Murfreesboro Police, we're going to have some hard-hitting questions here now. We do a segment on the morning show called Random Questions. And John and Dalton dared me to do this to the next time when I did the show on a Wednesday, you know. So, okay, I'll take you up on that. This is the first question, Chief. What did you eat for breakfast? Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. They make fun of me for, like, bringing in a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but it's about all I can get, you know.
Yeah. I got up and got ready and headed straight over.
What about you? I knew I smelled Jolly Ranchers.
Jolly Ranchers.
Very good stuff.
Is it?
Probably not, but.
Does it make you awake?
It gets me going in the morning.
Yeah. Do you have a morning routine?
Get up, go to work.
So when I can pop out of bed, be ready to go, and out the door in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not one to have to sit around and drink some coffee and wake up and that kind of thing. I'd hit the floor and go.
No, I'm not. Now, my wife, she's up at like 4:45, and she's got a routine, and she's doing all kinds of stuff, and I just get up and go to work.
Well, I mean, I have a routine, too, but it's get up and go to work. I mean, it's not just, you know, dawdle around.
Yeah.
I make my coffee in the Keurig, let the dogs out, come in, dress, get out the door.
Yeah.
So, got too much to do. Are you a morning person?
Ask my staff. I really get energized in the evening time.
I do too.
Yeah, that's where I'm
and
at.
That's why I hate mornings.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're in this business, a lot of times you deal with mornings. And so I was working at Tennessee Radio Network when I was there for 12 years. My morning started where I had to be in Nashville at 4 a.m. So, and it was the drive and. I was living in Smyrna and then back here in Rutherford County, Murfreesboro, but, well, not like Smyrna's not in Rutherford County, right. But you know what I mean. And that was a long drive and staying up late doing ball games, but I thought, you know, when I took this full-time job here 18 years ago now, boy, 9 o'clock, that'll work great. And then what happens a few years ago? 6 a.m. So.
Yeah. But evenings, I've always been that way.
Oh,
and
man.
That's where I...
The most work, like, 3 to 7, that's when some golden stuff happens. Get some work done. I tell you that.
Three to seven?
3P to 7P.
For you? That's when, or when
no,
the chief. Okay.
When everything he's asking from me starts getting delivered.
I mean, that's when we can really crank some stuff out.
So do you get it into his inbox at before 3? Is that what happens?
It's just knowing that when you see that window happening and things are start. It's kind of like if we had, like if we still had typewriters or something, you'd hear like, you know, and you can just see a certain movement that's happening. You're like, all right,
I know when to strike.
We're about to work. So,
yeah, but you understand most of the day, especially early morning throughout the day, it's not really putting out work product. Right. It's more talking about operations, things going on, because every day. You don't know what's going to happen when you go in. Sure. So it's a lot of meetings, discussions, planning, that type of thing. So the time to actually sit down and...
The administrative work is what I should have said.
Yeah.
There's a ton of stuff that goes on during the day.
Yeah. Well, I could only imagine.
It's reactive.
Mostly. Yeah, and every day it's new. And that's the first thing I try to do when I get in. I look at everybody's face, kind of like, are they going to tell me something? I try to read everybody.
Yeah.
And I can do it pretty good. I'll be like, all right, what's going on, right. man?
You can tell when Larry's looking at the floor, not you, that he's got something to throw your way. I noticed that, is that a Diet Dr. Pepper? Is that
Absolutely not.
No, it's not?
It's all the way full.
Yeah, I just saw the top there. So,
and I did pretty good there. I'd kicked the habit there for a while, and then we went out of town last week, and I kind of got back on. So,
yeah. Is that your caffeine of choice? Coffee or?
I don't drink coffee.
Really?
Yeah. I don't drink coffee. A little bit of tea and that.
I can tell with Jolly Rancher over here that's pretty much that's your morning go-to.
I don't know how much 200 milligrams of caffeine is, if that's a lot or a little, but
it's four times what's in here.
If I could get if they would make one of these, it's like three times. I wish I could. I tell you, people say like, oh, I can't drink anything after 6 o'clock caffeine. I'll stay up all night. I'm like, I wish there was something that would do that, you know, but I haven't found it yet.
You remember the old Jolt Cola?
Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That got me time or two.
But it was so sweet. It hurt your stomach almost, I remember. I was like, I couldn't do more than one. Yet.
Yeah. I drove back from Lake Charles, Louisiana, straight through on a Jolt Cola and no bathroom break. That was difficult. And on that note, we'll say thanks to our friends from Murfreesboro Police. And don't forget, the podcast will be up shortly on our website.
The Good Neighbor Network, on air and online at WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's most trusted source for local news.